Welcome to the Hope City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
We're starting a new sermon series this week, and it's called The Mask of Religion. The Mask of Religion. I want to give you an explanation of what I mean when I say religion. And here's what the dictionary says. It is Webster's dictionary, okay? Religion is a system of beliefs, practice, and rituals centered on the worship of a god, gods, or the sacred, often focused on ultimate concerns, morality, and the afterlife. That's just an overall blanket of religion. Keep that up there for me just a minute. So people will say to me, like, you know, I'm not a very religious person. And I'll say, you know what? Neither am I. Amen. Right? Because this doesn't appeal to me. I don't know if it appeals to you. A system of beliefs and practices centered on the worship of a god, gods, or the sacred, often focused on ultimate concerns, morality, and the afterlife. That doesn't sound good to me. Because what sounds appealing to me is having a relationship with the creator of the universe who walks side by side with me every single day, directs me, convicts me, gets me set on the right path, tells me how much I mean to him, doesn't expect me to feed him, wake him up, put him to bed. Listen, it's a real thing. There's religious practices of waking up your gods, feeding your gods, putting your gods to bed, keeping them happy. The creator of our universe, the one true God, does not expect that from us. But he expects us, he wants us to walk in relationship with him, making him the very center of our world. But this series, The Mask of Religion, is going to cover various conversations that Jesus had in the temple with the religious leaders of the day. There were two groups of religious leaders. They were both of the Jewish community. One was called the Pharisees, one was called the Sadducees. And the one thing that separated the two was their belief in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees believed that there would be a resurrection, and the Sadducees did not believe that. But both of these groups were consumed with the practice of religion, but not with the posture of their own hearts. Guys, religion looks really good on the outside, okay? I can put on a mask of makeup, and I can make myself look really different than what I look like without makeup. But that makeup doesn't transform who I am. Religion practices doesn't transform us. We're going to see in the next chapter, right now we're in Matthew chapter 22, but we're going to see in the next chapter how Jesus actually was going to refer to these people, the religious leaders, as whitewashed tombs. I want you to think about that. Whitewashed tombs, meaning you look really good and clean on the outside. But what's on the inside of a tomb? Death, decay, right? I want you to know that our God is not impressed with our practices and our disciplines if we don't allow them to change who we are from the inside out. If it's just a practice, I'm just doing it, I'm just going through the motions, there's no point in it. It's empty. Claiming some religious affiliation does not save us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal separation from God. Do you hear me? Claiming a religious affiliation. It's one of the things that I find so funny when I'm filling out like a medical record. Always, like, if you're at the hospital for anything, I had like an outpatient surgery and it was like, what's your religious affiliation? What do you even care? Why do you care? Right? Because my religious affiliation of Christianity, or if you want to get technical, come to Party of the Pastors, you'll understand what this is, Assemblies of God, that's not going to change who I am. Only living in relationship with Jesus and obediently living according to the standard he put in place keeps me on the path that leads to eternity in God's presence. So, this first conversation that we're going to highlight in this series starts off with a bang. Remember, we didn't plan this, okay? But I think God did. okay? Because this first conversation, actually, before I tell you what, get out your Bibles, would you please? If you have your physical Bible, please get it out. Show it to me. Because at Hope City, we are practicing the discipline of bringing our physical Bibles with us. If you don't have your physical Bible with you today, open up your phone and open up the app. But I want to encourage you, bring your physical Bible with you. Open your physical Bible every day. Spend time in your physical Bible every day, right? One of the things that brought me such joy over the past week, we were on vacation and Jason's parents were with us, and we were listening to a podcast, and one of the speakers held up a Bible, and he said to the other person in the podcast, he said, "This has almost completely disappeared from the American church." And Jason's dad, my father-in-law, said, "Well, they can't say that about Hope City." And I said, "Oh, that just made my whole week that he said that." Okay? No, they can't say that about Hope City because we preach this word and only this word. Not our opinions, not our preferences, not what makes you feel good. We preach God's word. So as you have this out, just get it open to Matthew chapter 22 because we're going to look at it here in just a moment. This first conversation is all about obedience in our finances. Well, remember, this was not planned originally for today. This was, I think, was supposed to be last week or even the week before. But some things happened, and we had to, like, scooch down our speaking schedule. So here's what kind of came to my mind. Oh, here we go again, talking about money in church. Well, I want to tell you something. We talk about money because Jesus talked about money. I want you to know something. The Bible, this book right here, the Bible talks about money and finances and wealth and possessions over 2,000 times. 2,000 times in here, okay? The topic of money and finances is one of the most frequently discussed topics in Scripture. In the Bible. But the focus of it is about our attitude towards money. Amen. Our attitude towards finances rather than the amount. Yeah. That's what the focus of it is. What's your attitude? What's your heart posture when it comes to money? When it comes to finances? When it comes about to being obedient and generous? There's a difference. Listen, there's a difference. There's a difference between obedience in our finances and generosity in our finances. We're going to talk about both of them today. Okay? Okay, so let that sink in for a minute. Okay? Today's conversation focuses on being obedient with what God asks for and obedient in what our leadership requires. The title of today's message is Dual Citizenship. And I want you to know, this has been a topic. I think this has even been a sermon title previously, maybe a year or so ago. Because it was a message previously in Matthew. I preached it, that's how I know. Because we preached about the temple tax and how Jesus talked to Peter about his heart posture about the temple tax and how he provided for it. And I even referenced in that message the fact that we have dual citizenship in this world. And we actually talked about this as pastors as we were preparing for this sermon series. And I said to them, I said, guys, we've already I spoke about this. And I don't remember if it was Pastor Shaq or Pastor Avey. One of them said, then obviously we're supposed to speak about it again. Amen. I said, okay. And also, I was not slotted to speak this message originally. It was supposed to be Pastor Jason. And for whatever reason, our speaking schedule got shifted as well, and then it landed on me. And I thought, how did I get this topic again? It's not even a topic that I'm real comfortable speaking about. But here I am. Here I am speaking about it. It's an important message, and the content is worth the repeat. Okay? So we're going to read together in Matthew chapter 22. Verses 15 to 22. Then the Pharisees met together to plot how to trap Jesus into saying something for which he could be arrested. They sent some of their disciples along with the supporters of Herod to meet him. So right away, you recognize what the heart posture is. They're not really wanting to know, they're not really wanting the correct answer to their question. They're really wanting to trap Jesus. They're looking for some way to arrest him. That's the heart posture, okay? Teacher, they said, we know how honest you are. You teach the way of God truthfully. You are impartial and don't play favorites. Now, tell us what you think about this. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? The whole point here is that they had been overtaken by the Romans now. The Romans were now over the government that was over the Jewish people. And so they are saying, should we actually pay the taxes that Rome is requiring of us? But Jesus knew their evil motives. You hypocrites, he said, why are you trying to trap me? Here, show me the coin used for the tax. When they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are on it? Caesar's, they replied. Well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. His reply amazed them, and they went away. That means they were speechless. They had no rebuttal for him. Jesus is again talking to his followers, and he's teaching us that followers of Jesus have become citizens of heaven. I want you to understand that. If you have decided to follow Jesus, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've received his forgiveness of your sins, and you are actively choosing to walk in obedience to what his word says, you are a citizen of heaven. Our future is in what is coming, not what we see here. However, we are still citizens of a physical world, are we not? Yes. Right? We're still citizens. We have dual citizenship. We are citizens of the world that we live in, and we are citizens of the world that we are headed to. Okay? Jesus mentions the idea of belonging to the kingdom of heaven while living in the world in John chapter 17. I think it again, chapter 18, I believe. But there's a few things I want to pull out of today's message for us. And it really ties it all back into what today is about the Commitment Sunday. Okay? The first thing is this. Citizenship has a price. Citizenship has a price. Physically and eternally. Okay? There's always a cost to citizenship. Whether you become a citizen of America by coming from another country, or whether you're born in America, there is a cost to being an American citizen. Those who choose to come from another country into America, in order to become a citizen, there has to be classes to take. Then also, no matter if you were born or you chose to come to America, there's a cost. When you turn 18, all males have to register with the Selective Service. You want to know a funny story about that? Let me tell you a funny story about that. When we filled out, Jason helped Avi fill out her financial aid form, and for some reason, I don't know how he did it, he selected male instead of female. And a few months after, she gets this notice in the mail that she's like in default of her like American citizenship responsibility because she has failed to register with the Selective Service. And I was like, Jason. And he had to go back and fix her financial aid form. And he had to call someone. I don't know what you had to do. But listen, they're serious. They're serious about it. If you are a male 18 years or older, you are expected to register with the Selective Service. Also, people who are of able body and age will work to support themselves. That's an expectation of American citizenship. If you are able to work and you are to the legal age of work, you're expected to do it. And every year, a portion of your income is going to be returned to the government to support its operations. It's called taxes. Listen. We pay taxes, whether we like it or not. And if we don't, and believe me, we know what this is like too. If you fail to pay, they hunt you down, whether you meant to or not. Okay, I shared this story. I'm not going to share it again. But we had failed on accident to pay the proper amount of taxes. And we got caught. And it was a big penalty, let me tell you, okay? Citizenship has a price. Well, becoming a citizen of heaven has has some requirements as well. Number one, you have to openly believe in Jesus. You have to believe in Jesus. In Romans 10, verses 9 through 10, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Can't be a secret citizen of heaven. In John 14, 6, says Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Jesus is the gateway to heaven. Another thing that you have to do to be a citizen of heaven is obey his word. Obey his word. Matthew 7, 21, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. And the other thing, so you have to believe in Jesus, you have to obey his word, and you have to love God with everything. With everything. A few weeks ago, I spoke about the Shema. You'll understand why I got that mixed up in a minute. Okay? We talked about the Shema, which was what the Jewish people recited every single day. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5. I'm going to read it to you from the ESV. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And in some other translations, it says strength instead of might. I taught this a few weeks ago that the Shema, that first word here, is that Shema. And it means to listen, respond, and obey. And this final word, the final word is a really poor translation. The final word, to love him with all your might or strength. It has been translated from the Hebrew word mi'od. Mi'od. We have translated this poorly. Because that word mi'od means very or much. To love the Lord your God with mi'od. With everything. With very. With muchness. The Hebrew writers couldn't even put it into words. Like, with mi'od. Mi'od. Everything, everything. It's a word that is used to intensify the word that it comes before, like to the greatest capacity. And so to love the Lord your God with all of your mi'od means to love him with everything to the greatest extent that's possible. This includes our money. It's not an afterthought. So there's a price to citizenship. The other thing that I want us to really understand from what Jesus is saying is that favor follows obedience. Favor follows obedience. And our willingness to obey is a clear indication of our devotion to God. How devoted are you? I'll tell you how devoted you are. You show me your life. Let me watch you walk your life, and I'll tell you how devoted you are. To obey indicates taking action on something we wouldn't think of on our own. Listen to that. Taking action on something that we wouldn't think of on our own. Obedience to God, particularly in our finances, always makes way for something greater. When we are obedient with what God asks for us, to give to God what belongs to God, that's what Jesus said, then give to God what belongs to God, it always makes way for something greater. I want you to read with me in Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, so right before Matthew. In chapter 3, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple." God's word, not mine. "If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies." I want you to understand something, that favor from God might not have an immediate return on investment. You might, but you might not too. Favor might not be immediate, but it is always there. I've shared with some of you the story of me growing up before. And I grew up very poor. But tithing was always talked about. It wasn't even an option. My mom was fiercely obedient in her finances. And every time the check came in for the month, she sat down, and the very first thing she did was to figure out what's 10% of this. She did. And it was always given. That was the first thing. And we always had what we needed. Always. Always. You want to know what the result was in my life? An incredible amount of faith. Amen. That's what it was for me. To watch this, I experienced this growing up. And I don't live today. My kids never lived the way I lived, okay? I didn't even have a bathroom in my house until I was 9 years old, okay? My kids never had to live the way that I lived. However, my faith was so built out of what my mom taught me that it wasn't even a question. So are we gonna tithe? That's not even a question. That's just an assumption. That's like a given. And my mom taught me to be intentional about recognizing what favor looked like. Because favor isn't just good luck. Okay? Nothing is just good luck. Like you get an unexpected bonus at work. Favor. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You just happen to walk into a store and they just happen to be having the biggest sale in their store's history. Favor. It's pouring down rain outside and you're looking for a parking spot and suddenly there's one right at the front that's open. Favor. Okay? You want to know about one of the biggest favors that Jason and I just talked about this week, because we just came back from spending a week in Hawaii. 15 years ago, Jason and I are living in Springfield, Missouri, and he happens to be on eBay, and he sees an auction for a timeshare in Hawaii. And he's like, what do we have to lose? $10. Okay, it's a week-long auction. And he gets up and he bids $150. And he's like, Paul, that's a lot of money. I'm like, it could be really great though, right? He wins the bid. A week long, 1 week every year in Hawaii for $150. Now, we didn't see the property. We had no idea. So the first time we went, we were like, well, this could be really bad. But, I mean, it was $150, so we could just sell it. And we walk into this property. Guys, it's amazing. It's beautiful. For $150. That's what we bought the title for. That's favor. That is favor. We were just talking about it this week, like, Jason, do you see how much God loves us? Look what he gave us for $150. Amen. Right? We have to learn to recognize favor every single time and call it out for what it is. Because favor follows our obedience. The last thing I want us to know, and this is related, where's those cards? Can I have one? Thank you. This is related directly to this Now campaign. Is that God asks for an equal sacrifice, not equal giving. Do you hear what I'm saying? He asks for an equal sacrifice. That's why God's word says, I want a tenth. I want you to give a tenth back to me. A tenth of my paycheck is going to look different than a tenth of your paycheck. It is. It's equal sacrifice. It's not equal giving. Right now, at this moment, I am bivocational. That means I work two jobs. Okay? And my other job, I work at the VA. For the Veterans Administration. And one of the statements that is said all the time is, all gave some, and some gave all. May that be said of us. All gave some. Some of us will give all. Some of us will give way more than our sum. And in God's kingdom, that is an expectation. That all give some. It's not because he can't make it without your money. But it's because you can't make it without complete submission to him in every area of your life. In miod. In everything. In everything. In miod. You can't make it. It's impossible. You know what? God set it up that your obedience is given through the place where you worship. That's how he set it up. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 to 18, it says, elders who do their work well should be respected and paid well, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. For the scripture says you must not muzzle the ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain. And in another place, those who work deserve their pay. What Paul is saying to Timothy is he's saying, listen, it's set up that you pay your tithe to the place where you are fed so that the people that feed you are paid. That's how he set it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 to 14. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings? In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. We are the supporter of the church. That's our job. We, the people of Hope City, are the supporters of the church through our tithe, through our 10%. That's what pays the bills of the church. That's what pays the salaries of the pastors. It's our tithe. Galatians 6:6, those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. He set it up this way so that all gave some. And there's going to be some who give more, simply because either God asks it of you or you just want to. I want to end with this passage today in Mark chapter 12. Because it's around this same time that Jesus just had this conversation about giving to God what belongs to God and giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And he's sitting in the temple, and it says he sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. This is my mom. This is my mom. I just want you to know. This is my mom. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I tell you the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. I want you to understand that as a citizen of heaven, it is my duty to give to God what belongs to God. That is my tithe. And it's to be paid in the place where I'm spiritually fed, where I live in community. That's not sacrifice. That's obedience. That's not sacrifice. That's obedience. This is sacrifice. This is our sacrifice. This is above and beyond what we are obediently doing. So I just want to remind you that today is Commitment Sunday. And God might be talking to you about what your sacrifice looks like. Phase one is to be given by June. God, how much do you want me to give by June? Phase two is from June to next June. God, how much do you want me to give over the next year? How much every month? I just want you to take a moment with that question. I want everyone just to close their eyes for a moment. First and foremost, the most important thing about today is that some of you might be sitting in here and you are not yet a citizen of heaven. You have not even said yes to Jesus yet. So the thought of like saying yes to tithing is like mind-blowing to you. Yeah, I get it, because you're not yet a citizen of heaven. But you have an opportunity today to change your address for eternity. And if you're here and you want to say yes to Jesus, you want to say, I admit that I'm a sinner. I admit that I need you, and I want to walk in obedience with you. Would you raise your hand right now? One. Come on. Come on. Come on, two. Yes.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.